final case for argument today is United States v. Moore.
May it please the Court, I'm Maribeth Dura and I represent the appellant George Moore in this appeal. Mr. Moore raises three issues. I'll address the last one first because of the mandatory minimum, it didn't have any real effect on his sentence, so I wish to only say that, and that's that on that issue. The two most important issues here are that the first issue, whether the district court abused its discretion in denying Mr. Moore's motion to vacate his guilty plea, and whether Mr. Moore received ineffective counsel in violation of the Sixth Amendment. He was subsequently pled guilty to the possession with intent to deliver 50 grams or more of crack cocaine, and subsequently after that moved to vacate his guilty plea. That was denied. He was sentenced to under the
I understand from the prosecutor's brief that there was a hearing held in connection with that motion, and that the district court found that the defendant's version of what happened, which your brief recites as true, was, not to put too fine a point on it, perjury. How can you just recite all of these things as if they were established fact when the district court disbelieved your client?
Because Mr. Moore's attorney in the motion to vacate confirmed a couple things that I think supports his veracity. And I think we're really talking about words here.
But no, the question is not what you think or what he thinks, but whether the district court has made clearly erroneous findings of fact. And you're not going to be able to persuade us that the findings of fact are clearly erroneous if you simply ignore them and proceed as if everything your client said were obviously true.
The record shows that the court found that Mr. Moore's attorney did not tell him to lie. However, the record is clear that Mr. Moore's attorney told him, and this is coming from his attorney in the transcript of the motion to vacate guilty plea, page 51, and this would be Mr. Lonergan's testimony, well, you know, and this is in quotes, well, you know, you need to, if the judge won't sign it the way it is and you still want to plead, then you're going to have a different version of events that happened. That came from Mr. Lonergan, not from Mr. Moore. And although that's not using the word you have to lie, that's telling him he has to change the version of the events. And that to me is, well, I would submit to this court that that is changing a version is
you're just taking
lying.
This as given. The district court held a hearing and found your client's testimony not credible. With that finding in place, what's left?
He found it credible in two points. He found it credible that he didn't he found his testimony about whether he had seen the discovery as incredible or not credible. And he found that the fact that his attorney told him to lie
here's
was
the district
not credible.
Court's statement in open court. Do I believe that he was told that he needed to lie in order to plead guilty? No. Do I believe that when he did answer those questions of mine on the 28th, that he answered them truthfully? The answer is yes. Well, the district court has made a finding of fact that your client was lying when he said he had been told he had to lie in order to plead guilty.
But that's overlooking the fact that the attorney testified that he told Mr. Moore that he'd have to change the version of his events. So that's why I'm submitting that perhaps using the word lie is
a separate question whether the attorney shouldn't be disbarred.
So
we have a finding of fact
as to whether he used as to whether he told him to lie, not as to whether he told him to change the version of his story. And I think that it can be construed as two different things, two different statements. The second issue is whether the defendant received ineffective counsel in violation of the Sixth Amendment. There was an inconsistency between Mr. Lonergan's testimony and Mr. Morris' testimony regarding what reports he had received. However, we do know that this proffer of the co-defendant, Mr. Williams, that was supposed to be supplied to Mr. Lonergan. Mr. Lonergan testified that he wasn't sure if he had actually received the proffer statement, although it was discussed with George. But he did not think that he had given that proffer to Mr. Moore to review. Mr. Moore says he wasn't given anything but the affidavit. Of course, the court found that not to be credible, but I think it is consistent that both of them are saying that Mr. Lonergan told him that he'd have to change the version of his story in order to make this plea go through. The discussion of possible defenses, and I would submit to the court that those possible defenses were that the state or that the government could not prove the elements of intent to distribute and the knowingly element. That the only time that those were discussed, and I'm looking at Mr. Lonergan's testimony, is when Mr. Moore said, "How can I have had an intent to distribute when I didn't even know that this bag contained drugs?" Mr. Lonergan also testified that he never discussed the government's theory of legal accountability with Mr. Moore. Mr. Lonergan testified that he told Mr. Moore, when Mr. Moore indicated to him he had concerns of perjury, "If you want to plead guilty, you can't stick to that story." These all support the facts that Mr. Moore had no guidance. He was not informed of the effect of his plea of guilty. He had no assistance, no legal assistance. And and I would submit to the court that his just taking, really, if you just look at Mr. Lonergan's testimony, I think that this court could conclude that his representation of Mr. Moore was ineffective. I'll reserve the remainder.
Thank you, Ms. Durbin. Ms. Mullen.
May it please the court, Linda Mullen on behalf of the United States. As Judge Easterbrook has already...
been indicted for perjury yet?
No.
I'm you know, it's not my business, but I wonder whether a few indictments under the inconsistent declarations statute wouldn't reduce the number of people who say one thing to the judge when pleading guilty and then contradict it soon thereafter. Inconsistent declarations under oath is a felony without having to prove which one is correct.
Your point is well taken, Judge Easterbrook, and I can tell you that the events in this case have created some discussions in our office about that very point and about what should happen in situations like this. As you pointed out, the district court did hold a hearing here, heard testimony from Mr. Lonergan, heard testimony from the defendant. At the conclusion of the hearing, found Mr. Lonergan totally credible and the defendant wholly incredible, said the issue wasn't even close, and yet went on to discuss the major areas of concern that the defendant had. Specifically, did he receive the discovery and police reports? The district court said, yes, he did. Mr. Lonergan met with him at least 12 times, according to his testimony, and the district court found that he indeed did receive that discovery. The second point was whether or not Mr. Lonergan discussed the defenses in the case. The district court was allowed to consider The defendant's answers at the change of plea hearing, in which he said that he was fully satisfied with counsel, that counsel had discussed the possible defenses in the case and had discussed the discovery with him. The district court found that at that time the defendant was telling the truth. The district court also analyzed whether or not the defense attorney had in fact instructed the defendant to lie and said he had not done that. The defendant has offered this court no reason to find those factual findings by the district court and credibility findings clearly erroneous. The district court, again, made those findings after a full hearing. And based upon that, we would ask this court to affirm the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mullen. Anything further, Ms. Dura?
I would also just like to point out one additional thing about Mr. Lonergan's testimony. The guidance that he was providing to Mr. Moore was, I think, so below the standard of reasonableness that he gives this example, and this was verified by both Mr. Moore, kind of in different twists of the testimony, but by Mr. Moore and by Mr. Lonergan, that Mr. Lonergan was telling him, well, you know how you've sold drugs to other people on other occasions? Well, you know, maybe you're not that guilty now, but just, you know, take it. And Mr. Lonergan testified and gave the same example that, yeah, I probably did tell him about the times that I sped that I got away with. Well, this time that I'm speeding and I got caught, I'm just going to take it. So, I think that that lent to a lot of confusion. I don't think that Mr. Moore had effective counsel when he entered that plea. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. And, Ms. Dura, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case.